What's up, guys? It's Jack Howell, safety for the Green and Gold. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show powered by Chevron. We've got Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. Mike, am I correct in this? You graduated from the University of Northern Colorado. Is that right?
Yes, I'm a proud graduate of the Harvard of Weld County, yes.
So I was not ready for that. So you're going to be on your old stomping grounds tonight.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to being at, I still call it Butler Hancock. So We're going to go with that. And then, I don't know, maybe Ryan Pfeiffer and I have talked about the fact that maybe if the game ends early enough, I can get my story posted. I might hit some of the old haunts. We might be looking at the White Horse Saloon.
I was getting ready to ask, but you just offered it up. So there you go.
Yeah,
there you go. I'm looking forward to this one tonight. Obviously,
you don't have to drive because you just stay at work, right?
And well, go. Yeah, but then I've got a long drive home, Mike. Because I guess
it's
you and I could car.
I've got the same drive.
We could carpool. We could carpool.
Except you're starting there and I'm starting here.
Yeah, that's true.
That makes it a problem.
I shouldn't have thought about that. You can't get on the team the bus or something, and then we could carpool back together. We could sing tunes on the way back, dude. I got a new CD for us. We could do this.
My car's still in the Moby parking lot, and that doesn't do me any good when I need to be at work tomorrow.
Well, I'll just drop you off, and then you got to figure that out tomorrow, Mike.
Well, see, then that means I'm not Ubering.
It's funny you mentioned the Butler Hancock thing. Mike Rice back on the call for us. It's been a while since he's called games, but he's starting back up with us this year. And in his first game, I kept hearing the back to Bank of Colorado Arena. So he was having issues with it too.
Yeah, so some things. It was like when the Broncos decided changed the whole mile high thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's still mile high to some people.
Yeah.
It's always going to be. And it wasn't as bad. I don't think it will be that way for the Pepsi Center going to Bell because it wasn't that long of a thing. But even for some people, mile high was Bear Stadium,
Well, Budweiser Event Center, it's now Blue Arena or whatever. That's different. That one's really tough for me for some reason.
Yeah, that's still going to be the Bud.
Yeah,
it'll always be the Bud.
Yep. So far, anyway, I'm with you though. I thought for sure Ball Arena wasn't going to catch. It was always going to be Pepsi Center, but that one, it was easier to make that transition. You're probably right.
That old.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't that old. Yeah.
Mike Brohard joining us, CSURams.com. Mike, before we look at this game tonight, how about the football side of things? Colorado State found a way to get it done, and they're in that, as we talked about last week, in that survival mode. They get it. They got two more left, got to win them both, but first mission accomplished with the victory over San Diego State.
Yeah, that was obviously a very important step because the season would have looked a whole lot different had they not won that game. The offense can't, the defense set the tone early. The offense did enough in the first half and then came up with a late drive. And I thought the defense played solid throughout, especially in the third quarter because, San Diego State put some things together. It was particularly important for them to hold them to field goals, as it turned out, in the third quarter, not give up touchdowns. CSU put together one drive, unfortunately had a fumble. But it looks like they found somebody to contribute to the running game. And true freshman Justin Marshall, that's a pretty good debut.
It really is. Jay Marsh, as I'm calling him now, Mike, very creative.
Well, as long as you guys are tight and close, that way that's good.
Well, never met, not really talked much, but I'm assuming he'd like that name. It's a cool name. It's like B. Marsh back in the day. Now it's Jay Marsh.
Sure, you can go with whatever. Yeah, if that works for you.
Yeah, it's just easier. Yeah. Less letters. Yeah, 18 carries, 119 yards, and a touchdown. So, what do you think? You tell us about this guy a little bit, Mike. From what you've learned about him and watching him, and obviously talking to this coaching staff, do you think that we're going to potentially see a lot of those kind of games from him? Is he going to be that kind of explosive back?
Well, they hope that whether or not he's rushing for 100 yards. They hope he can bring some explosiveness to the run game. Now, you got to remember, this is a rushing attack and only had two explosive plays all year, and those are runs of 15 yards or longer, right? We'd only had two all year, both of them by Van Shield. He had two of them early. So and Van had another one in the game. That was important development. They need him to be good at times and keep slow down a pass rush, keep a defense honest, things like that, help move the chains. Whether or not he's rushing for 100 yards every game, you don't see that out of the air raid offense if it's going the way it should be. But right now the air raid's not working in the passing game the way that you would anticipate. So that becomes more and more crucial. And I still think one of the biggest developments of that game was the fact that they did go back to Avery Morrow, who they trust, after Van fumbled and because, you know, Jay Marsh, as you call him, is a freshman. They finally were able to run out a clock, and that's something that an air raid offense isn't going to ask to do much, but that's something you want to do. And that was important that they were able to do three straight runs when the defense knows you're going to run. You still pick up the first down, you eat up their timeouts, and then you're able to go into victory formation and kneel down twice for the win.
Mike, on the air raid thing, you know, last year obviously you didn't have the right pieces, especially on the offensive line. So we did see this team running. Avery Morrow had a lot of, you know, he had a good chunk of decent games on the ground. And then you're talking about what they were kind of forced into running the ball all over the place, especially this last weekend. Do you see Jay Norvell potentially in the offseason changing a bit about this offense, or do you think they dedicate 100% to it? Staying for air raid.
Can I just say that? Nope. Have you ever talked to Jay Norvell?
I have.
Okay, so like obviously one of the people that's had the biggest impact on his life was Al Davis when he was with the Raiders, right? And what did Al Davis like to do? He liked to challenge defenses vertically. He wants to throw the ball. He wants to throw deep. He thinks that's the most effective offense. And he's not all of a sudden going to go, hey, you know, 2 years here after 5 years of it working in Nevada, I'm just going to change. No, he's going to mold this offense into what he really wants it to be. Now, again, Brady, let's think back. Who started at quarterback every game that you've had at Colorado State so far in Jay Norvell's tenure? Whoever it was a redshirt freshman, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Except for Clay, right? Clay was a redshirt sophomore this year. So one start out of all those games, it's been a redshirt freshman. You've got to have some time for these kids to develop. I mean, you just don't run in. There's a lot of reads and a lot of things that they ask for out of this offense. They might have a play called, but the slot back or the slot receiver could end up having two or three different routes depending on how the defense lines up. And the quarterback has to know it, and he has to know it. And the same thing for Torrey Horton on the outside. The same thing for Dallin Holker, you know, as he's lined up in the H-back or if he's spread out. These are the things that take some time, and it's timing, and it's being able to make the reads. And I think that's why you're seeing some of the delays.
But, Mike, I mean, it's not like other coaches haven't done this at the college or NFL level. I've seen plenty of they're this way. They do things this way, but because of the personnel, or maybe this guy turned out to be this type of player, they change a bit what they do. So it's not like, you know, again, you wouldn't be asking Norvell to change his philosophy, but I mean, he has had success, and you can run the ball out of the air, right? I know that, but it certainly seems like this Rams team for 2 years now, when they kind of dedicate to it, they do have some success there. So I guess my point is, I've seen guys that are, I know Wyoming's begging that Craig Bohl changes the way he does things offensively. I've seen coaches that are, they're set in stone this way, but because of maybe personnel or whatever, maybe they change or edit a little bit about what they do.
So last year, what you saw was a team that was dealing with young quarterbacks, so they tried to lean on the run game a little bit more. And they had some success with that because I believe Avery had 5 100-yard games, right? So they've tried to do some of it this year. They just haven't run the ball with great success until last week, right? So, yeah, he's trying to use the run game to help take some of the pressure off a young quarterback. And when they can do that, they're going to, but they haven't been doing it with great effect. You and I are both in agreement on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just this last game, your first 100-yard rusher, they still haven't rushed for 200 yards, you know, as a team this year. I mean, heck, last year we went back, if you looked at it, when Avery rushed for 167 against Nevada in that win, the team only rushed for 177 overall. Okay, so they're going to want something out of the run game to help the pass game, but he's never going to just solely rely on a run game.
Mike Brohard joining us, CSURams.com. Big one's coming up for CSU. Got a win out. And it, you know, I would imagine, Mike, they're favored in these next two games. So the opportunities are certainly there.
Well, so here's the interesting thing is, yes, they're like a double-digit favorite this week, which hasn't happened for a while. That's when they're at home. Now, the interesting thing to me will be, how does Hawaii play this week coming off a win over, you know, Air Force last week at home? They go to Wyoming this week. Let's see how they handle that trip. And then they're both going to be basically flying from, you know, being based in Fort Collins on Saturday and then flying back to Hawaii later on in the week, right? So Hawaii will obviously get there a lot quicker. But it'll be interesting to see where that game sits depending on how Hawaii is finishing out.
Yeah, it's always an interesting kind of equalizer when you got to go there, too. So I was blown away by what we saw with Air Force. Air Force was a 19.5-point favorite in that game. So, again, Mike, I think we learn as football goes on, we know less.
What did I tell you last week about the Mountain West Conference in football?
It's crazy.
You should never bet on it.
Oh, yeah.
Because now this week you're looking at a game where, you know, Air Force and UNLV are going to play, and that's for sole possession or first place in the Mountain West.
It's nutty, man. It's a lot of chaos in this conference. Speaking of betting, the CSU Rams are CSU's 11.5-point favorites tonight against UNC. What do you think of that line?
I like that line.
Do you think like it? Yeah, I could see the Rams. But you know what's funny, Mike, is I predicted that. I did. I know you don't believe me on this stuff, but somebody asked me last week, and they thought it was going to be 5.5. And I said, nah, I'm looking at it. This isn't Dalton Connect and Dalen Kuntz and Matt Johnson anymore. It's a different group, and I like this group, but I felt like it'd be around 10.5. So I was close, and then it was 10.5. Now it's 11.5. So I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I'm not really concerned with that. I'm just more concerned with seeing how CSU takes its next step towards building. There are some games coming up that people, especially the fan base, has got their eye on. But you want to see, you know, the connectivity and the cohesion and chemistry continue to, you know, build and flow within this roster. As you see different and more combinations, I think you're going to see, you've probably seen one of the best games Isaiah's played this last time out, and I don't think it's the best he's going to play.
Yeah, he's something else. He's something special. Mike, before we leave, texter here, Well County Swami. Mike is one of four people to go to the White Horse and live to tell about it.
Yeah, so funny thing was is when I was a student back in the day, my econ professor owned that bar. Okay?
Really?
So I don't think he ever went to it, but he did know a good investment. And I did have certain friends that were bartenders there. So, yeah, I think Ryan and I might be two of those four then, if that's what he's thinking. Because I know Ryan. We've threatened to take, you know, we told Kevin Lytle he might have to go there with us tonight.
Oh, well, I'm waiting for my invite, Mike, you know.
Well, you're more than welcome to come, but you're going to have to wait until I'm done writing my story.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how the night wraps. I mean, the Nuggets are at 8 tonight, so and we got it's the in-season tournament, Mike. I don't miss in-season tournament games. And, you know, NBA, you know all about
Stop.
That.
Stop.
Mike, appreciate it, man. Well,
do me a favor,
yeah.
Too, Brady.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried about Angel. He's normally very chipper when he calls and tells me it's my turn. I just want to make sure you're taking care of Angel and that you're keeping him in a good mood. You're treating him right.
I put a Christmas tree up in the lobby this morning, Mike.
What have you done for Angel?
Angel, turn to your left. There it is. He can look at the Christmas tree. And he just loves it.
Special.
You should see him.
Do something special for Angel to let him know that you still appreciate everything that he does for you.
Because Brady's talking about putting me on this Christmas tree. I don't get it.
He wasn't the normal chipper angel when he called.
Well, okay, so the Christmas tree's not working. I'll give him a hug. We'll see what happens.
Okay. He might not like the Christmas tree because he might be like me, and he's waiting for Thanksgiving. And he doesn't like people who start doing Christmas before Thanksgiving has happened.
You can have both, Mike. It's a perfect world.
You
yes, you
there's, can. There's a time and a place for everything, and right now is not the time and the place for Christmas. Do not turn on Christmas music until the night of Christmas. Until the night of Thanksgiving. I'll let you do that.
Thank you. Mike, appreciate you, man. I'll see you tonight.
All right. Take care.
Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. Mike is the show's contrarian. He is. And I love him for it. I didn't know how to take him back in the day, but I love bringing him on the show because I will say, hey, CSU scored 14, and he'll go, yeah, but he'll always throw in a but or whatever. So when I'm suggesting that Jay Norvell perhaps change some of how he does things off, oh, no. Every other coach does it. We've seen other coaches do it, Angel. Coaches do it. Basketball coaches do it. Football coaches do it. Anyway, what's it going to take to cheer you up, Angel? Mike said you sounded a little sad.
Cheering up.
He said you sounded sad. Look at that beautiful tree over there.
It's
I went and cut it from the Sherwood Forest this morning. Yeah.
The ornaments, too? Did you make those?
I made them. Yeah, I actually did. Yeah.
And the snow?
Yep. Made that, too.
Is that fresh snow?
Yeah, it's yellow snow. 37 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.